This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Not because we have our next guest in the studio with us.
Yes, we have Deborah Wynn in here, and Deborah is a fantastic artist. In fact, an award-winning artist who has had collections internationally and 24 solo exhibitions and over 70 group curated and award shows. Prolific is the word for that. Amazing. Thank you for joining us, Deborah.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
Definitely our pleasure. Now, Deborah, before we get into everything, because you have a new exhibition coming up at 45 Downstairs, it would be wonderful to hear about your background as an artist. So where the passion for it started and what your journey has been, because you do a very particular type of subject matter. And it'd be great to know what led you to that.
Now, I've always loved drawing. It's been a passion since I was a kid, and anything to do with drawing was a love. So I have memories of anything to do with art from being a little kid. And it's one of those things where I remember the school going to the NGV, and I guess everyone does where they put their hand on the water. But I also remember the painting of Cleopatra. And I remember fascinated by the woman sitting there. And I never knew the name of it, but I remember this beautiful painting with the woman holding the glass with the pearls in the glass, and that just stayed with me. And I remember things like lessons that people taught me. So I remember going to a friend's home and being taught a skill of how to actually maintain a really strong colour by layering coloured pencil. And I was only a little kid, and I remember somebody telling me that if you coloured pencil one way and then colour it the other way, it becomes a really rich colour, and if you use two different colours, it becomes really strong.
Yeah.
And that, I was just a little kid then, and I still do it. I still use that technique. And I've passed it on to as many people as I can, because it's just one of those things that works.
Oh. Good things stick.
I know.
Good things stick. So that's been something that's just, ever since I was little, it's those things. And if I ever achieve something good with my art, it meant so much to me.
Yeah.
So I even remember ripping Australia, the shape of Australia, and winning a prize because the shape of Australia was so good. And so I remember somebody couldn't believe it was so good.
She can do anything.
Okay. Well, to do with art. It was just one of those things. And then as I grew up, I really loved my maths and science too. And unfortunately, as I went through high school, I wasn't actually allowed to do my art as I went through into the higher levels, even though my art teacher wanted me to. It was just one of those things, I think, that parents didn't quite understand how important it was to me, but also that you could actually have an art career.
Yeah.
And unfortunately too, that I lost interest in maths and science because I didn't have the passion of my art burning with me. So I actually lost my interest in school too. So I got through.
But so did you, and you may obviously maintain that interest in art, but from a practical point of view, did you just keep practicing it, and as throughout, I suppose, as you got older, you just kept doing it your own pace?
I kept doing it for myself. So I had any excuse to do my art for myself. I did go and do a bachelor of behavioral science. Mm. So I went to uni and did that. And what happened for myself is I found an excuse to do a life drawing course through that.
Okay.
It was like one of those, I've signed up for, I don't know, it would have been about 10 different courses just for the for the sake of it. And one of them was Italian, so I could get free pizza. One of them was like a rowing club or something. And I think I did one meeting with the rowing club.
Did you row?
No. I went to a meeting. I don't know if that counts, but that was a fun meeting.
No, I'm pretty sure you're a rower now. That's how it works.
Thank you. They'll put that on the resume. But yeah, so the life drawing class, I'd never done that before. And I went along and, oh my gosh, I was in love with drawing the figure. That was it. I was done. To have a model in front of me and to be able to draw, I was gone. Yeah. I was in the moment. That was it. That was my love. That was my passion from that point on. So I continued my studies. I did what I needed to do. But I've got goosebumps even thinking about it. It still sits with me. And I knew what I needed to do from then. So I did what I pursued what I needed to.
Yep.
And I got to a point where I was just not happy doing what I was doing. And I just picked up my socks and went back to school and pursued my art. So I actually studied illustration.
Okay.
And that's how I learned all the different mediums. It was an incredible course at NMIT. It's now called something different. Incredible teachers, amazing people. And I learned a lot of different skills. And I was even able to teach because I learned so much.
Mm.
I learned how to exhibit so I started to do some group exhibitions. I learned a lot about myself and about the art world. And
I mean, it really shows, because one thing we were saying just before we went on air is that you do know how to work across so many different mediums. And you have a really, really beautiful understanding of the human form. And for anyone that hasn't seen Deborah Wynn's latest works before, there's a real focus on dance and choreography and the human body generally. Mm. Could you tell us a little bit about how you went from doing these sort of like static life drawing classes to then shifting into, I mean, gosh, monotypes, etching, dry point, painting, photography, like you name it, with movement and dance, because it's quite a hard thing to capture in a still moment.
Yeah. I got to a point with my models where I was really pushing them. So I found that I just wasn't getting... it was hard for me to describe. I just wasn't getting enough.
Yeah.
Mm. I've just found a whole ton of photographs and things from that moment, from that time where I was really pushing my beautiful models, the poor things. They were trying everything for me. I could even see the looks in their faces. Well, in the photos that I was taking of them, where I was asking them to twist and turn and push and pull and hang. And I was in this amazing studio, the Alan Martin studio. He's a tonal painter, and he had this old falling down studio, and it had a double level, and they were even falling down from one level to the other with some cushions and things, and I had ropes and
gosh.
I was very
I mean, yeah, I hope you had insurance.
Other woman did. I was very lucky. but they were beautiful models in terms of, I mean, beautiful as well, but they were really trying hard to please me, but I was struggling to direct them and to say what I needed. I was really after an expression of emotion, and I didn't know how to ask for it. I wanted more. I was after passion, and I really wanted to describe something through my art, and I didn't know what I wanted to describe.
And so you found dance.
Went to New York.
Ah, okay.
And I found it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it was through dance.
And so when you're working with dancers, either in rehearsal, performance or choreographers, in order to capture a moment and the light and the movement of a body, do you like sit in on rehearsals and just constantly draw, or are you taking photos? What's your process?
Yeah, I'm very lucky to be have been given permission to take photographs as well. So I sit in rehearsals and I draw and draw and draw and draw. But I'm very lucky to be able to pick up a camera and take photographs as well. Because then that way I can get more detail. As I can get very skilled over time, I'm surprised myself at how quickly I can draw. Okay. When I first go in, after a long period of time where I'm not drawing, and I go in and I sit and draw, I'm back to drawing stick figures, and I think, who am I kidding? You're not an artist. What on earth made you think that you could do this? Are you joking? And then after a while, I get quick again, and I've even had a couple of people sit with me at the Australian Ballet, and they were looking over my shoulder. They were guests at the Australian Ballet, and I'd been in there for a few weeks and sitting at the feet of the dancers. So I sit on the floor and I sketch in my sketchbooks while the dancers are rehearsing. And a couple of ladies came in and they sat on the seats, and I didn't realise they were watching me. I thought they were just watching the dancers. And at the end of rehearsal, the woman said to me, "Oh my gosh, you didn't even look at your sketchbook."
I mean, that's super impressive, really.
I didn't realise I was doing that.
I guess, I mean, you know, art is like a muscle as well. So like dance, there has to be flow and practice and precision.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that after all that time, you would be so on point with your drawings. But well, incredibly difficult.
That doesn't mean my drawings look amazing. That just means that
you're fast.
That just means that I'm fast.
But I've seen some of these works and I know that they're amazing.
Well, they are actually from photographs. So they're works that I create from the photos. So the dry points and etchings, which are more sketches, they're from the drawings. So they're more the line work. I have done the monotypes too from the drawings, and I'm really pleased that there are some more detailed works that are from some drawings as well. That after 10 weeks, so for the first visit to New York was 10 weeks, and that was intense and amazing, because that was so much drawing of the dancers, and I did get really quick at that, and I was really pleased with myself with that one.
Yeah.
And I did get a lot of detail there, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it shows. Like, this current exhibition is called Light, and the light in the works is beautiful as well. Tell us a little bit about this exhibition and also about these artist talks that you have coming up. You're doing one with Alice Topp and also a solo one as well, is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you. So the one with Alice, Alice Topp is an incredible choreographer. So I actually was very lucky to be in her studios while she was rehearsing Logos, and that was just before COVID hit. So she and her dancers performed, they only were able to perform a couple of times before they were shut down due to COVID, and I was very lucky to have been able to go to those rehearsals. She's incredible. So before I even knew her, before I was able to get into the Australian Ballet, I had seen one of her first performances that she had choreographed without having a clue who she was or anything. And I'd fallen in love with a performance that I'd seen on YouTube called Trace. It is beautiful. It is so lovely. It's really sensual and sensitive. It's two dancers that are in the laneways of Melbourne, and they almost are transferring layers of clothing, which is almost like skin between them. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece, with a violin playing. It's stunning, and I was I really adored the piece. And then I found out it was her. And then I've worked with her. Well, I've been able to draw her work since then. And she's so much fun to be with. So these dancers are incredible people. So they are so professional, amazing to watch and be with. And then they're fun.
Great on top of it.
Oh, no, they're so lovely. And she is a very warm, caring, gorgeous person. And when you are able to speak, so when we speak with her, she's also very, very generous. So if you're able to come to, so if any of your listeners are able to come along to the talk, they'll be really, people are always, so I've been very lucky, she's spoken with us before. And she's very, very open and very happy to share. So people were really surprised at what she was able to tell people about her journey and stories of rehearsals and things.
I mean, it sounds like a great thing to hear both you and her speaking together, quite a treat. If anyone wants to get along to that, that's going to be on the 2nd of April from 3 till 5 p.m. And the exhibition, whereabouts is it happening?
So that's at 45 Downstairs, which is at 45 Flinders Lane.
Great.
Melbourne.
Yeah. And what dates is that happening?
So that actually begins on Tuesday, so on the 22nd.
And it goes until the 23rd of April, but you're in the middle of Bump In today.
Oh, that's exactly right.
So thank you for taking a moment out to come and see us while your exhibition is being set up.
And there is another talk as well, but just for yourself as well, but that all that information will be on the 45 Downstairs website.
Yes, that's 45 Downstairs or my website too, if people wanted to have a bit of a sneak peek at
which is
DeborahWynnArtist.com.
Okay, great.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. The work is really gorgeous and just, you know, it sounds like you found your muse in dance and everyone should get along and see it.
Thanks so much, Eve. Thank you, Neil. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Deborah Wynn here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.